Well, last time John had asked me to teach, we taught in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's basically kind of the chapter of faith. And we were kind of, I don't think we made it all the way through. And I'm kind of just going by memory, so please forgive me. But so if we reread something, I think we ended off on Moses, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe we'll reread that. So if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And I think we kind of already read some of that, but we'll, someone wants to read 23 through 29.
You said 11, 23 through 29?
Yes, please.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for three months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. You said through 29, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much all, you know, regarding Moses. But and I like how they reiterated the word by faith. I mean, I didn't count how many times that was said, but Dave, I want to say you said it probably 7 or 8 times, you know, by faith. And when I'm reading that in some of the different, you know, times, whether it's crossing the Red Sea, whether it's the Passover, whether it's, you know, even Moses being in a little basket, you know, him, you know, kind of when he ended up killing that one, you know,
guard or
whatever it was, because you know he was Hebrew, Moses was, and it was an Egyptian guard or soldier or whatever, kill him. And you know, when I think of faith, I sometimes, and at least in some of these instances here, I almost correlated a little bit with courage, you know, and I know those are two separate words or two different words, but think of the and again, I'm not saying that that's Moses' courage. I think that that came from God, you know, the faith that he had, the courage that he had to be able to do some of these things, whether it was, you know, defy that Egyptian soldier, whether it was crossing, you know, across the Red Sea, you know, even the faith and the courage that it took to, you know, take the people out of Egypt, right? Pharaoh, you know, did not want that to happen. And he basically, you know, sent the plagues, or God did, you know, the plagues or what have you. And it was, I think it took a lot of faith, you know, on Moses' part. Now, not saying that he right away was ready to do all these things, right? I mean, at first, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, God, you're asking me to do this. Hey, I can't speak. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. He was coming up with excuses, right? You know, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this. And we all do that, right? I mean, we may have that knock on our heart, or that the Holy Spirit saying, hey, Brad, you need to say something to this person, or you should do this, or you should, you know what I'm saying, or whatever it may be. And I'm going, oh, I really don't have time. Or, oh, no, that would be kind of embarrassing to say, you know, do that, or whatever. Or whatever excuse that I can come up with, you know, I can't use the one I can't talk with. That's all I do, right? So I mean, you know, but although I will say this, I did have a speech impediment as a kid, so I could almost be a little bit like Moses, right? I can't speak, you know. But then he's just going to send his brother Brent or Bob, right? You know, like Aaron, right? You know, to be able to speak, you know, in my place. But yeah, no, just, you know, seeing some of the things that, you know, Moses had the faith and the courage, you know, under God, it, you know, to walk out on faith, it's we're trusting God. We're putting our faith and our trust in God, not in ourselves. It doesn't, some of those things, well, we know it's just not humanly possible. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea, and then, so conveniently or, coincidentally, right? It collapses, right when the Egyptian soldiers, that was God, right? That wasn't coincidental. That wasn't luck. That wasn't, that was, what do they say nowadays? That karma or whatever. I'm like, what the heck is Carmen San Diego or whatever? I don't know.
It's Carmen.
Oh, Carmen.
It's Carmen
in
San Diego.
Oh, Carmen, not Carla. I'm sorry. Then I'm getting stuff messed up. But I don't believe any of that stuff. It's not luck. It's not karma. It's not, it's to me, it's God, period. That's all it is. And it's frustrating when I hear that kind of stuff. It's not, so anyway. Would someone else mind reading, I guess picking up on verse, I'll tell you what, the one verse I wanted to read and I didn't read and I wanted to read before we ever took off was 1 Corinthians 13:13. And I'll read that real quick. And it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. I kind of wanted to, and again, and I'll be telling your dad this because then he's going to end up sending me a text or whatever, but whenever he does send me a text, I kind of wanted to, I think I had done before, I think, what's the love chapter, Dave? St. Corinthians, is it 14? 1 Corinthians?
I thought it was 13, but
I think you are right. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it is 13. So, but we had talked about that, and I know when I was in here doing Sunday school, we had talked about how in the Bible it tells us to love our neighbor. As ourselves. It tells us to love our God with all our heart, our mind, our spirit. It tells us to love our enemies. It tells us to there's no. No greater love than a man to lay down his life for a brother, things like that. And that is truly the greatest. But I didn't want to skim over, faith or hope. So I'm kind of wanting to, the reason I'm doing this is I'm kind of wanting to go into faith. We kind of talk about that in this chapter, and we'll finish up this chapter. But what I'd like to do is, there's been a lot of folks named in this chapter. And I'll just name them off real quick. I mean, there's Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. I'd like, maybe in the future or whatever, to discuss, some of those kind of, we talk about prayer warriors, but we'll say faith warriors, what happened in that. So. But anyway, so does someone mind reading? We're still in Hebrews chapter 11, going in from verses 30, and let's go ahead and read throughout the chapter through 40.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, but she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. When we receive back their dead by resurrection, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
Thank you, Cheryl. You did a much better job than me pronouncing Jeff Bath.
That was a tough one.
So, the very last verse or last couple of verses that Cheryl read, I just want to reread that. It says these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So these were, you know, just by faith and God's faith, God's courage, you know, these people never received what had been promised, but they just had the faith that it would still, you know, it was God's promise and it would still happen, you know. I wanted to read this in my Bible real quick. It says, these verses summarize the lives of other great men and women of faith. Some experienced outstanding victories, even over the threat of death, but others were severely mistreated, tortured, and even killed. Having a steadfast faith in God does not guarantee a happy, carefree life. On the contrary, our faith almost guarantees us some form of abuse from the world. While we are on earth, we may never see the purpose of our suffering, but we know that God will keep his promises to us. Do you believe that God will keep his promises to you? Of course, yes. He goes on to say, many think that pain is the exception in the Christian life. When suffering occurs, they say, why me? They feel as though God deserted them, or perhaps they accuse him of not being as dependable as they thought. In reality, however, we live in an evil world filled with suffering, even for believers. But God is still in control. He allows some Christians to become martyrs for the faith, and he allows others to survive persecution. Rather than asking why me, it is much more helpful to ask why not me? Our faith and the values of the world are on a collision course. If we expect pain and suffering to come, we will not be shocked when it hits. But we can also take control in knowing that Jesus also suffered. He understands our fears, our weaknesses, and our disappointments. He promised never to leave us, and he intercedes on our behalf. In times of pain, persecution, or suffering, we should trust confidently in Christ. And then the last one here, I want to read, says Hebrews 11 has been called Faith's Hall of Fame. No doubt the author surprised his readers by this conclusion. These mighty Jewish heroes did not receive God's total reward because they died before Christ came. In God's plan, they and the Christian believers who were also enduring much testing would be rewarded together. Once again, Hebrews shows the Christianity, or that Christianity offers a better way than Judaism. So again, once again, just hitting home that a lot of these faith hall of fame or heroes or what have you, the Bible, they never did see the promise fulfilled, but yet was acting on faith from God to, you know, so anyway.
It hammers home though, that's just, it's through Christ alone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right, right.
So they had to wait.
Would I'd like to, I guess, start out with, I think if we have enough time, Abel and Enoch. And let's see.
We're going way back.
Yeah, we're going back into Genesis now here. So for Abel, it's Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12.
Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth.
I see. Mm-hmm. So here you have two brothers, one Adam and Eve, Cain the oldest. Cain, I guess, worked the ground, harvest crops, and Abel kind of the flocks, things like that. And from what I'm understanding here, reading here, and again, this is just a guess on my part, but I think Abel, I think it says it here, he kind of gave him the first, I don't know if it was the first, did it say the firstborn or the first, that, did it say that, Sue, or do you remember that?
The firstborn of his flock.
Firstborn of his flock. So basically, instead of going through your herd, right, and going, okay, which one has an extra horn or a blemish or something wrong with it, basically sickly or diseased or anything like that. I think Abel's heart, his faith in God, right? We're talking about faith. It was, he truly had a heart for God and was looking to give sacrifice to God and, an unblemished offering or animal or what have you. I think Cain, on the other hand, and again, I don't know if it really says this type thing, but I've got a little garden myself. Maybe the tomatoes he was offering, it was kind of, they already had maybe some spots on them, right? Maybe some worms or something, or whatever. And I know it doesn't say this, but I'm just kind of thinking this because God was disappointed, in Cain and what his offering was. And I think most of all in his heart, disappointed. God was disappointed in his heart as far as where he was in his faith in him type thing. And then instead of you know, God, I think, gave me kind of a chance of saying, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? So I kind of given Cain a chance, I think, at that time to, you know, kind of turn things around with happiness. You know. But what does Cain do instead of that? You know, he had kind of, his faithlessness, I feel, was a sin, you know, first and foremost. But then his rebellion, you know, against God here is kind of, was another sin, right? Then killing his brother, obviously murder.
He's jealous.
Well, yeah, it's a jealousy, right? He was jealous. It was another sin. And then God asking, hey, where's your brother Abel? Then he lied, right? He lied. He said, well, we all have heard this, right? My brother's keeper or whatever. So, you know, but then he lies on top of that. And it's just, I had a couple of things I wanted to read. I had a note on this one and a note here. Says, when God rejected Cain's offering, Cain reacted first with disappointment, then with anger. God did not reject Cain for his strong feelings, but offered him an opportunity for a new start. How sad that Cain refused the second chance and went out instead to kill his brother. We need to be careful when we face obstacles in life. We need to carefully weigh the strong feelings we encounter before acting on them. If we don't, we may be passing up an excellent opportunity for a fresh start. God is not put off by our strong feelings. Our spiritual renewal is based on God's grace, which always offers us an opportunity to begin again. So again, I believe that the verse I kind of reread, God was, and it kind of reiterated that in this little note, he was giving Cain another chance to kind of get his heart straight, you know, and he didn't take that. In fact, he went the opposite way, the total opposite way, and ends up, you know, killing his brother, lying about it. And it kind of gets back to the first sin, right? I mean, we can go back to Adam and Eve, and it was like, you know, they were told not to eat from one tree only, right? And lo and behold, they ate from it. And when confronted, what does Adam say?
She did it.
Okay.
Perfect.
But then what does Eve do?
Right.
It was just completely down the line, right? The blank. Yeah, it was like no one, you know. No. And I think you can tell Cain is a son, right, of Adam and Eve, right, because he doesn't fall far from the tree, yeah, pun intended, right? And I knew you were gonna get me. Yes, and that was on purpose. I'm sorry, I probably wasn't intended. But no, serious though. He doesn't fall far from the tree because, you know, again, he's in a similar situation. Hey, Cain, where's your brother? You know.
I killed him.
Hey, what? God, am I my brother's keeper? What? You know?
I mean, we all do that with our kids. I don't want to ask one question, I already know the answer. Just give them a chance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you're right. No, you're right. You know, it's like, you're the only one in the house, and they're the only one in the house, and something's done, right? And it's like, you know you didn't do it, therefore you know they hadn't done it. And it's kind of like, hey, what happened here? You know? And I don't know. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. This is a fun, that we're talking about this is funny here. It says 30 years ago, the time was passing by. It says 30 years ago, the conversation went like this. Tommy, where's your math assignment? I think my dog ate it. Today, it may be more like this. Honey, where are the car keys? I think the baby must have hidden them somewhere. Passing the buck has been a popular guy tradition.
What?
The first time he submitted it, Brad.
I don't know if I'm going to keep reading this. It's been a popular guy tradition for a long time. Oh, that's even worse. In fact, the origins of buck passing go back to the dawn of human history. Adam, the first man God created, was also the first man to avoid taking responsibility for his failures. After God created the earth, he told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. When you eat from it, you will certainly die, said God. But the serpent enticed Eve into eating the fruit. Then Eve persuaded Adam. This was the beginning of sin and disobedience on earth. Theologians call this event the fall. When God asked what happened, he was given history's first buck passing session. Eve gave it to me, said Adam. The serpent deceived me, said Eve. We can only imagine what might have happened if Adam had said, God, I confess, I messed up, I'm sorry. He didn't, and he paid the price, so do we. Then I had one other. It says, how do we react when someone suggests you've done something wrong? Do we move to correct the mistake or deny that you need to correct it? After Cain's sacrifice was rejected, God gave him the chance to right his wrong and try again. God even encouraged him to do this, but Cain refused. And the rest of his life is a startling example of what happens to those who refuse to admit their mistakes. The next time someone suggests you're wrong, take an honest look at yourself and choose God's way instead of Cain's. So anyway, I guess getting back to faith, between Cain and Abel obviously showed his faith in just the fact that, again, he was willing to take the firstborn, or the best, non-blemished, because he knew, he had faith that God would provide, even if he took that. I don't think Cain's heart was in the right place. I don't think that he had that faith, of, hey, if I'm giving my best fruits, my best vegetables, my best, that he'll provide me with just as good, if not better, type thing. So
I think it's kind of like us giving tithe.
Yeah.
Do we do it out of faith, knowing that, I've got all these bills and I know my paycheck isn't going to cover all these, but, God gave all this to me.
Right.
And I was God, I'm going to give him what he deserves, 10% first, and he'll take care of the rest. He does.
I was hoping to get to Enoch, but I guess we'll have to save that for the next time. But thank you all for coming out. Jesse, I do hope that your dad gets to feel better.
Me too. Doesn't sound like hard, that's for sure.
Yeah. My dad has dealt with a little bit of gout. I don't always ask him about his grout. We're going to have to reroute you, or whatever. So. All right. Well, does anyone else have anything else? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer and come out to the church service. Dear Lord, just thank you again for this day that you've given us, and thank you for the opportunity to come to you. Lord, we do lift up all these prayer requests that we've mentioned earlier, and even silent ones, Lord. And we just ask that you be with each and every one of us and our families, and this week as we go out into the world. Let us always recognize that when we leave this church, we're going out to a mission field. It's not just Sunday that we're here, or Wednesday for that matter. Let your light, Lord, shine through each and every one of us, even out throughout the week. Lord, just show us what we can do to further your kingdom. Use each and every one of us to do that. The talents and gifts that you've given us, Lord, let us not waste those. Let us be true missionaries, even in our backyard, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and anywhere our workplaces, Lord. Lord, just ask for forgiveness of sins, and thank you for all our blessings. It's these things we ask in your Son's name and say, amen.